BBC if you want to text them. Any time.
Because we're saving it for the show.
No, I mean it's for the show.
I better start the show then before Doc saves any more for the show. Hello, welcome to the Matt Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple News, such as it's been, because there is a keynote on Monday, and we're going to have a keynote on Monday, and we're going to do live coverage of it and take the piss, like we always do, live with Tim and all the boys and Ferengi and Fat Phil and everyone will be included. So get yourselves here at 6:15, so 5:45 on Monday, and you can listen to us show how juvenile and stupid we are.
What's the biggest odds on Eddie Q's shirt?
Being pink and out of his pants and him dancing like your dad. High. Friggin' very high. Very high. I'm not even taking bets on that anymore. I don't know who's joining. Doc, do you want to join Monday?
Live coverage? I might be around. Depends on the timing.
It's 15 minutes before the keynote, dude. So.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying.
10 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, crap. Good point, someone said that, because I'd forgotten that daylight changed, so it's not going to be at 10 a.m. 6 p.m. UK, is it?
No.
Oh, we need to do something. We need to figure out what the time is going to be then, because it's going to be 5 o'clock. We might be earlier than we thought. Okay.
So, Adam, what time are you right now?
That's not going to help.
Noon. You were just making fun of me because I have my beer and it was 7 minutes past noon.
Yeah. No.
So it is past noon. I was making sure it was 12:15, not 11. Okay, we're good.
Hey. Yeah, it's 12:12. 12:15.
Okay, we'll figure it out after
the
broadcast.
It should be 5 p.m. UK time then.
Joining me to discuss the week in Apple News, fantastic panel, starting us off top left, Patrice Brendamore, who needs a sick note from his mum after last week. 15 minutes before and you bail on me, boy.
Yeah, really, really sorry.
You might be 6'2", but...
No, I invited a friend over, and
well, you knew it. You knew you were going to bail on me.
I thought it was Wednesday, and it was actually Thursday. And when I looked at my Apple Watch, 15 minutes before the show, I saw, and I was in the middle of cooking, so I couldn't leave her hanging. So
you crazy Germans and your beer, you forget which day of the week it is.
Trumped by a lady friend.
I got some. Yes. I got some brow. Do you get? It's okay passing up the Mac Show, but you know, do you get a home run or not? Oh, he's not going to answer that.
Nope.
Next to him, someone who hasn't hit home run in years like me. Matt Cast, how you doing, mate?
Good.
And you've got an English beer.
I do. I got in honor of Gaz, I went out and I said I was going to get it, the Hobgoblin.
So you've got a...
Quite tasty.
You've got a German market near you or something.
Yeah, it's at the German Hofbrau meat market.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why they have a bunch of English beer, yeah, but they do.
And you enjoying that? Hobgoblin I quite like, I have to say, but there's a few of theirs are really, really...
this is a dark English ale.
It is.
It's nice. Malty and Adam, the way I like it.
Adam, how much is a bottle of that over there?
This is about $5.50.
That's only about £4.
Not too bad.
That's not too bad. We only pay about £3 over here, don't we? £4.
Yeah. That's okay. I've paid upwards of $28 for a bottle of beer. So
you lunatic. Talking about a lunatic with money, it's Humpty Dumpty. I mean Doc.
Humpty Dumpty.
No, someone's written in because they got upset because they said that I called you Humpty Dumpty last week, and I said no, I didn't call him Humpty Dumpty. I said it was like arguing with Humpty Dumpty.
Oh yeah, well, you know people do that. And, you know, I say, hey, you know what? Stop acting like an a-hole. And they go, did you just call me an a-hole? I said, no. I said, don't act like an a-hole.
Exactly.
Right? If you act like a dog, that's not calling you a dog. If you're just sitting there on your four knees going, bark, bark, bark. Yeah, but, you know, semantics. Anyway, I've never sat on the wall. I have never had a great fall. And I guarantee you, I'm always together.
Excellent, Mike. But he has had 10,000 men. Oh, dude, you left yourself wide open for that.
I'll take that because when I was in the Army, I was in command.
It got lonely on patrol.
I was their boss, so I can take that, yes.
Okay. And last but by no means least, it's Camps.
Evening. Everyone well?
What's been going off, dude?
It's gone. What just happened?
Not all right, lot. We've had a house of illness here over the last week, so not an awful lot.
There's quite a few people. Old Lee Pearson hasn't been on for a couple of weeks, three or four weeks, because he's had the lurgy and all.
Yeah, we had the lurgy, and then I came home from work tonight, all ready for the show, and then my daughter basically threw up over me, threw up over the wife, so we've just had a bit of a run round tidying up, and we're all good to go now.
Excellent, mate. Well, glad you're back now. That's all that matters. Right, we've had some emails.
Wait,
I'll read the complaining ones later on. But
you know what? I need some help.
Oh, go on.
Okay, so I went to the internet because I have my British people translator, and it says the lurgy is a fictitious disease by people who make brass instruments. So what the hell is the lurgy when you said it? Not real.
The lurgy is just used now as a general description to describe someone who's unwell, who's got non-specific disease.
Gems.
Yeah, we call it malaise.
Go. Well, that would be the French that call it malaise, potentially, but I would have thought, and you've just stolen it. And you probably spell it wrong as well now. But moving on. We've had James wrote us an email, James Valenti, and he said, hi, Ewan, listen to the show. When I first got the iPad Pro, I was able to keep it on full brightness. So I was complaining last week about the iPad Pro not keeping its charge and actually consuming charge a little bit when I was watching video on it. I was able to keep it on full brightness whilst plugged in to the supply power adapter, and it would always keep it topped off at 100%, and even charge it if it was low. However, around the time that Steve Gibson from Security Now made the same complaint as yourself, I noticed the only way the iPad would come back to 100% is to either lock it or turn the brightness right down. Otherwise, the iPad will actually draw down the battery while it was plugged in. Long cords can limit the current available for charging, but I was using a good short cord that was certified. I'm not sure that the problem is, but I suspect it could be Facebook. Besides their history of playing background sound to try to keep the app alive, I read on Wirecutter, I believe we can find it in the article, that the mobile version of Facebook uses something like 50% more energy than the website in a browser and then the same device, Apple and Android. Then again, it could be due to some OS activity playing and screwing up. I was going to leave this comment on the episode page, but I wasn't sure what the form was for leaving a comment. So there you go. So he sent to the contact address on the website.
What'd you do? Because whatever you did, my iPad's been fine until you made those comments. Now it's...
Well, no, Steve Gibson started it.
Like that week.
The
that
world.
Week is like suddenly it's not charging quickly anymore.
Yeah, no, the world was fine up until Steve Gibson made the comment, I think you'll find, not me.
So that means we all share an app and that one app is doing the damage, but we haven't nailed it down.
Well, no, because I haven't got...
I don't have Facebook installed at all.
So,
I won't install it.
Yeah, I don't have Facebook either.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not it then. So it's not Facebook, James. Thank you for taking the time to write in though, mate. I do really appreciate that. And also, Greg wrote in and... where's his surname? I can't find his surname. Greg from Los Angeles wrote in, and he said, I've been doing a bit of digging after you made the comment about it not charging, because his doesn't charge particularly either. But he said, I found this and thought you might like it, and he sent it through. And this is an article that was on idownloadingblog.com, and it was quite interesting. So what it says is, if you actually look in the general settings for iPad Pro, and you go to... settings, general, regulatory, and click on that, you'll find a whole load of regulatory information there. If you go down to the one for Mexico, it actually specifies in there that the iPad Pro can manage up to, and you have to do the maths on this with the watts and the amps and the stuff, and the volts, but it actually works out that the iPad Pro can manage a 29 watt charger.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't ship one, but yeah.
Oh, hang on, see, because they do. And if you go to the if you go to the Apple webpage, the Apple USB-C power adapter on there at $49 is 29 watts
for the MacBook.
Well, for the MacBook. But now here's the thing, you see. If you read that article, it says, oh, but the cables just aren't beefy enough. Well, I've bought some beefy cables today, so I'm thinking about having to go at trying this. But the only thing I was thinking that might limit the fact is, I think that in my head, I've got it that actually that it's not the adapter that sends the level of charge, it's the
Correct.
Draw that the appliance takes.
Correct.
And I'm wondering whether there's Correct. A safety thing built in that the iPad Pro won't draw 29 watts. But I'm going to have a
Probably
go and plug
won't.
It in.
You should get one of those little, don't they have those little meters that you can plug between the wall plug and the outlet that'll tell you how much it's drawing?
Yes.
So
I have one right here.
Doc posted a link way before I even started reading the email.
As far as I know, and I might be wrong about that, I think there's even some negotiation going on between the device and the charger. Because usually over USB you can only get, I think, half an amp. But the, I mean, nowadays we have 2-3 amps. And I think there's some negotiation how much they are allowed to draw.
I think because it's a software limitation.
The anchor thing, they have the smart port where it basically figures out what the device needs.
I think you're actually both right, because I think it's actually the firmware that's in the little chip that is hooked up to that controls the Lightning port.
So, Doc, you posted a link to battery health, but
also I have the little USB thing that you can put in line, and I also have a cable that has a meter built in, and I've been messing around with it and trying various things, and you know, strangely enough, Patrice just brought up maybe the best point ever. What I have found the best way to charge my iPad and get, you know, the proper, you know, kind of charge is to actually use my Anchor. So it causes me to have to keep charging my Anchor, but I got like 3 of them, so I don't really care. So I use my Anchor because it will give the best charge, always give the right amount of amperage, and according to battery health and the little inline thing, it's always throwing in, you know, the right amount of wattage and milliamps. So Anchor has it down. Everybody else is kind of flubbing. And I'm going to guess, knowing Anchor, if you buy the white 4-port, you know, you plug that into the wall and everything into it, which is kind of like my Skiva Octopus over here. I'm sure the Anchor probably does that the best too, because these guys, for some reason, shape, or form, always manage to make the best chargers and batteries out there.
So
that's what I use. I use that Anchor 5-port IQ wall charger.
The white. You get the white one or the silver one?
The white.
So if you've got the Anchor wall charger, then it should potentially
it'll give the device whatever it's asking for.
Yeah. I use an Anchor battery, Ewan, but same smell. Because I never bought the IQ thing because I had the Skiva 8-port. But I find I never use all 8-ports. And the Skiva is weird because it's an octopus. The port comes every direction. It's very unmanageable and untidy. So I'll probably pick up that Adam's book.
Yeah, the only thing it's saying is about the cables not being good enough to handle more of the draw than that. But
I use the Anchor cables as well, which are nice, thick, beefy cables.
Well, I've bought some.
They just came out with these Kevlar joints. Anchor just released a line of Kevlar Lightning and Thunderbolt cables that they said they've been 6,000 some odd times and it didn't break. I'm all about buying them.
My wife needs those because she's constantly breaking hers because she pulls it at an odd angle and it breaks the connector.
Let me give you a link. I think
here's the thing about Anchor, though, too, is they warranty their cables. So that happened to one of my wife's cables. I sent it in under warranty. They sent me a new one.
So really? I bought some LP cables today. These are 3 meters long. They're a bit big for what I need. But I figure that the length of it would probably limit the draw if there is an issue. So that might keep the heat down. And also, they're really chunky, look. I mean, that's not your typical wafer-thin Apple cord.
Yeah.
So, and they're licensed as well. They're thingied. They're certified. So I'm going to give them a go and see what happens. And I might buy myself a 29 watt charger and just hope I don't frig it all up completely.
But you really can't, because again, there's safety controls in the device. It won't pull more power than it will accept.
Horse has just put, I found the new authorized Omka cables I bought will not charge the iPad. It assumes it's a drop in volts across the cables due to the resistance. Also look at the contact size. They are very small. Anchor cables listed in there in the chat room. If you want to know any of the links that we're talking about, all the stories and that kind of stuff, then they're in the chat room. All you got to do goes to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then scroll to the relevant day, which is St. Patrick's Day. As you can see, I'm wearing a large green hat today, and go to 17th of March, and all the links will be there. Super.
I bet you if whoever posted it in the chat, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the chat at the minute. If you were to contact Anchor, they'll probably send you a new cable. It might just be a bad cable. These guys are pretty epic. And what they did
this stuff's good.
They don't engineer a lot, but they comb the China engineers and they find these guys who often make really, really great products, but the design is crappy. And I've been to the mega show, and this is really what happens. You'll see the one that's well-designed, but you can tell it's a piece of crap. And then you see the one that's, like, engineered properly, but the guy has zero design skills. So Anchor will find those guys and bring in their design team, which is all over the world, right? You got a guy in the U.S., a guy in the Netherlands, a guy in the U.K., a guy in Ireland, Brazil. They all get together online. They talk about it. The whole company basically exists online. And they'll redesign and get that guy to produce it properly, and then they run it into the market. And they have hit home run after home run after home run. It's a pretty incredible feat of a bunch of guys that used to just kick it on Reddit and argue about design and engineering.
Yeah. Doc, it looks like they don't make the one that I got anymore. I had the 40-watt 5 USB port, and it looks like now they have a 6-port version. I'll put the link in the chat.
Thanks, mate. No, I'm going to get that. I'm going to go for the old 49-watt charger because I think it's only 35 quid in the UK, and I'm going to see what happens. I will buy one before the end of the show.
Yeah,
it can't go horribly wrong. Like,
and I like the idea of the 10-foot cable for the Anchor, because if you like to charge your iPad or your phone next to the bed, you will have a better my bed's high, so you have a better chance of not having it so tight. And I think that's two things that everyone screws up on our cables, is they always have it at this really, really odd length, or you have it at a really, really odd bend. And the Apple standard cables do not like stretching, and they don't like bending.
No, these these are quite thick as well, though. So if you're going up the back of a nightstand and then over onto a surface, I think you're going to find that they're not going to bend particularly well. There'll be a long curve rather than a short curve. So,
Have you tried these Kevlar ones, Ewan?
No.
Because, these ones, the ones I just posted in the chat, the Kevlar cables, they're supposed to be really, really flexible because they basically only use the fabric in the actual cable, but they put a hard, protective little wibby-wibby on the end in order to keep it from splaying.
I've just put a link in the chat room. Those are the cables that I bought that are 3 meters long. So they'll be available in the UK and the US, I would have thought. So.
Sure.
But they're chunky cables. They could hold quite a bit. Ryan Collins has been found guilty of taking Jerifalon Lawrence's bum and spreading it all over the internet after getting into her phone. They're calling him a hacker, which I think is a bit of a reach, to be honest, because all he's done is acquired passwords by a bit of phishing and then kind of accessed in and out through their accounts. But in September of 2014, he posted nude images of celebrities such as Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton, Elizabeth Winstead, and a lot more. I don't know who one of those is. Known as The Fappening. And Jeff Gamet writes that in the Mac Observer. Good lad, Jeff. And they might know him. He'd pick this story up. He was arrested in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, although the case was filed in the district court in Central California, but it's been transferred. They reckon he could get up to 5 years in jail, but the federal prosecutors are saying that he's going to get 18 months, probably.
Yeah.
Ewan, has that been confirmed now that it was him that posted them online? I think the article that I read on it earlier on in the week was that he was the one who'd acquired the images.
Yes.
I'm sure that I'd read at that point in time they hadn't confirmed who actually posted them on.
No, they found the poster too now.
Yeah.
So he's only going to get a little bit of trouble because he was the one who acquired them. He wasn't going to publish them. He was just sharing them amongst his group, and then somebody there decided to publish them. And I forgot the name of the blog, but it was mentioned in the article that I read too. Those guys are going to get the harsher charge because they did the most actual damage. All he's really getting in trouble for.
The story I'm reading says he had access.
Yeah, the important part of this story is how they got access, because a lot of people assumed or alleged that Apple's iCloud servers had been hacked, and he admitted in his testimony that it was all phishing. It was basically social engineering.
It was dipshit celebrities with crap passwords.
Yeah, but the way he acquired them was through figuring out social engineering. So I don't know if it was through, like, doing the whole what's your birthday question answer thing. But the point was, is he did not hack into Apple's iCloud servers and extract the passwords that way.
Which we said at the time, there was no fault on Apple's part other than the celebrities didn't enable two-factor authentication and also put pictures of their naked bodies into a third-party piece of software that
and twice did those use safe passwords.
Yeah.
So where do you put the pictures of the naked
bodies?
So where do you put the pictures of the naked bodies?
Well, You bought yourself
on the internet.
You bought yourself a digital camera, mate. You get far better quality for a start.
Yeah, my biggest problem with the celebrity leak pictures is most of them don't know how to take pictures for crap.
They are. They're awful. But I'd like to say thank you, Ryan, because I've enjoyed many hours of
the other name that you didn't mention was Ariana Grande, who it was probably her and Jennifer Lawrence were the two biggest ones of that ilk, whatever, when it happened.
Okay. I can't.
Because you said you forgot the other ones.
I can't stand Grande. I think she's an absolute
bitch. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to call her names because people would get mad and say I called her Humpty Dumpty.
Let's say she behaves like...
You know what's really funny? This has nothing to do with the Constantine Chime. I'll just blur. I know a girl here who looks exactly like her, but she is an elegant, normal, behaving human being. And it's like, I wish everyone knew this person. Because if what most people are into her for is maybe her looks, because she damn sure can't sing. So I'm like, I want to introduce my friend. I won't keep her name out of it because she hates when I tell her that she looks like Ariana because Ariana is such a twit. I would love everyone to know this person. She's gorgeous. They look like identical twins, but she's a normal human being. She's so far removed from that. She's actually a lawyer. She's intelligent.
That's good to know, Doc. I'm sure that'll change me this evening when I'm lying down.
Because you can say, hey, there's someone who looks like this but is smarter. I'll work to that. Never mind. There you go.
I'm trying to post pictures of the new iPhone here into Wirecast, and Muller's passing me beer. That's what you call conflict of interest. So, here we go. Allegedly, this is the casing for the iPhone 7.
I've already called this.
Which looks quite interesting. Muller's already called this, apparently, but it's not going to be Monday, that's for sure. Otherwise, we're all going to eat turds for breakfast on Wednesday.
Even if this is a legitimate image, it's way too early.
I think it's not, because if you see this case has been leaked, and I'm sorry, chaps, but one of you's got to be wrong, because the space available for the camera there is not the space that's going to fit around that camera there.
Any leak that's happening right now, what people need to understand is any leak that is happening right now related to the iPhone 7 series is based on prototype designs and speculative designs. Apple is, they're known for playing with designs, and they will have prototypes made, they will have, you know, stuff put together, and they're just playing around. They're trying to figure out what the specs are going to be. And up until the very last minutes, they've been known to actually change design specs, remove things. So it could be a legitimate, you know, prototype that they had one of their manufacturing partners throw together for them. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be the phone that's going to ship.
Exactly.
Quite right. Thank you very much. It's not.
I think it is going to have a dual lens system, and I do think that it's looking like the camera bump thing is still going to be there. But most of the leaks we're seeing right now have that kind of flanged design where it's just kind of, you know, rounded up, as opposed to right now the design, it looks like the camera's just sort of shoved into the hole and, you know, sticks out. That chamfered edge thing. I don't know which way I like it better, if I'm going to have a bump on the camera.
I think for me, the fact that I've got an Apple case on it, so it doesn't actually poke out of the back and give any sort of wobble when you're laying flat on the table, I don't mind it as it is now, but if I wasn't having a case, I wouldn't want it protruding from the back of the phone.
The antenna line too is the other big thing that is likely going to happen. Yeah, that it's going to go around that top and bottom edge and be a little more subtle than the current design, and I like that better.
Yeah. Mm. The other thing that that cropped up was the fact that the iPhone mock-up that was shown here had a smart port on it. And I just, I can't see that that's going to link to
the smart connector.
I don't think it's going to link to a keyboard.
No, it would have to be for some other purpose. But again, Apple plays around with this stuff. So they're probably looking at, hey, what can we do with, if we had a smart connector on this thing, what could we do? Is it charging? Is it, you know, a new, you know, magnetic charging connector? It still has the lightning port, I think, on the bottom with this specific design. But, you know, who knows? You know, that could be a docking station, or... it could be some sort of flip around, you know, wrap around keyboard accessory. You know, who really knows? Maybe it's a stand. It could be a keyboard stand. Remember the original iPad had that docking keyboard. It never sold very well. But, you know, it sort of docked in, and there was a little piece in the back that held up the device. So you could have an accessory like that that is a cord, and maybe it flips out and folds out, and then you just set the iPhone on it, and it makes the connection there. So it's feasible.
If Apple were wanting to move down the line of a waterproof iPhone at some point, getting rid of the holes, getting rid of the lightning port, having almost some sort of conductive, having the connection so you can charge from it, but also allowing data somehow to pass through that, gets rid of the holes and improved opportunity for waterproofing.
You know, one thing that...
Sounds good.
Sorry. One thing that people aren't talking about with respect to moving to something like a smart connector for charging or getting rid of the lightning port and doing, like, everybody's all hot about, oh, Apple's going to do wireless charging. Wireless charging, you still have to stick it on a pad, first of all. So I don't see that as that much different.
Yeah.
The bigger problem is how many people here charge their phone sometimes and use it at the same time. I do that. And if you're going to have wireless, you can't do that anymore. It's got to be sitting on the stupid little pad.
That's one of the reasons why I don't like the QI chargers or the PMA chargers, whatever you call them, is because of that notion of being able to use it at the same time you're charging it. I always thought that was weird. Until we get full, like, air charging, or like that one thing that went around about the pants that when you walk, it charges the phone. Like, we're kind of far away from a really good charging solution at the moment.
I don't see what's wrong with cables. They've worked for a long time. The batteries are long enough for most of my use cases, and I don't have a problem plugging in the cord every once in a while.
I mean, you see the advantages of, I mean, at least I see the advantages of wireless charging with the Apple Watch, but it's a very small device. I mean, it's charged in an hour or an hour and a half, so it's actually not a big deal.
Well, it's a little bit of a pain in the ass because I only have one charger, so, you know, I have to... make sure I put it in the right room.
So you'll spend $28 on a bottle of beer, but you won't spend...
No, I need to buy more chargers. But wouldn't it have been better if it was just a lightning? Because I've got like a million of those chargers in every room. So screw the wireless thing. I still have to put it on the stupid dock. I don't care if I have to plug a cable in the side or if I have to drop it. I mean, it wasn't... I think the wireless charging on the watch was more of an aesthetic decision on Apple's part than anything else.
But it probably helps with the waterproofing. Exactly what you just said, because with the iPhone, if it was working basically the same way, you could connect it to the iPhone and use it still. So isn't that exactly what
this magnetic charger doesn't really stay connected.
No, the funny thing is the one problem about the lollipop, for lack of a better term, or it actually looks like a spermatozoa, is the cable, Ewan, is actually, I think it's like 40 or 50 bucks for the standard cable. It's 29 for a stand or something. So the cable is, depending on which watch you own, you know, like 25% of the cost of the damn thing. So you kind of sort of don't want to buy another one of those cables. And yeah, I kind of like with Adam, I only ever need to charge it next to the bed, and it stays fine on the stand that I made for it. But I feel that type of charging wouldn't lend itself so well to a phone.
I think it's quite interesting that so I've had my watch, and I haven't not worn this since the day I got it. I love it. I love having it. I love all the stuff it does for me. I love all the functionality that I can get from it, and there's more to come, I'm sure, but you know, I'm happy. That said, if I go away for a couple of days and I forget to take the charger with me, you go, okay, well, why don't you just buy another charging block for the phone, for the watch, rather? And I won't. I just will not. So I know it lasts me probably a day and a half if I don't switch it off, but all I do is switch it off at night and then put it on the next day and then switch it off. And I've had 2.5 days out of my watch before now.
Oh, really? I never turn it off at night, but I guess if you're traveling, you're only doing a three-day stint, it makes more sense to turn it off and on. On a weekend trip rather than take the charger and forget it at a hotel.
Exactly, because then I just don't want to lose the charger, and I just won't buy another one because it's too freaking expensive and it's too unique and it's too crap. So and the thing is, if it once my watch conks out, it's interesting because I don't actually miss it, but I still have it on the next day after it's charged up again because I still love having my watch.
Well, and it'll run for days in its low power mode, so you can still use it as a watch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's maybe the best tip I've ever gotten.
Mate, you haven't looked in the Slack room. I posted a little demo of how to use Keynote for doing graphics, motion graphics, and In the Slack room. You need to go and have a look, scroll back and see that, because that's I put the green screen version that I made up, and then I put the finished version in. So if you want to get in the Slack room, all you got to do, send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com saying little pig let me in, and I'll send you an invite. Simple as that.
I would say make the subject line Ewan, I want in your Slacks.
That'll do.
You'll get more attention than little pig let me in.
Oh, I don't know.
What's up with Ewan and the nursery rhymes?
You can tell I'm into my nursery rhymes, clearly. Alive Core announces Apple Watch cardia band for medical grade EKG analysis. This looks really, really cool. Have you guys watched this?
I watched the video. I've read an article on it.
Yeah. What did you think? Because I thought this was kind of... Because the other thing I think that's coming Monday, we all agreed that there's watch straps, but we've all gone, oh, watch straps, and the watch straps will do nothing more than hopefully cater to fat bastards like me and give a little bit more length in the wrist on the Milanese. But none of us have actually thought there might be a strap coming that extends functionality of the existing watch.
That's cool.
Probably not from Apple.
You don't think?
No. I mean, they could, but I think they'd leave that... do third parties like this.
This thing apparently uses a detector that analyzes and processes using an algorithm to instantly detect the presence of, in an EKG, the most common AF, which is the cardiac arrhythmia, that is the most common cause to stroke. I thought that was kind of cool. I couldn't see any prices, though. There's no prices yet.
Because the insurance company will take care of it, so it'd be expensive.
Yeah, no.
It's just low energy Bluetooth on the connection, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably expensive because it's a medical device.
Well, you see, now you've still got... Don't forget that port, chaps.
Oh, wait, I got it. It's online store. I'm in there.
Don't forget the port.
$99.
Little hidden part under the bottom strap.
Yeah, under the bottom strap.
But it's not open, and there's really no way to open it.
Yeah.
I think there will be, though. I think that's maybe some of the straps that are coming out. Maybe Apple will bring a strap that does a bit more.
Am I right in thinking that this strap where the Apple Watch originally took some criticism for skin tones, tattoos and stuff like that as to not getting full readings, that this strap bypasses all that and it's meant to be way more accurate?
Well, it's EKG, isn't it? So an echocardiogram is looking at is looking at rate of heart, whereas and it's the I think the I'm trying to stumble over my words here. That so the watch looks for an average heartbeat over a short space of time, where an EKG will look at the individual spaces between each heartbeat.
The rhythm, basically.
The rhythm, yeah. So there's no rhythm in what the Apple Watch comes up with. It just picks what the average heartbeat is over a short space of time, and then says that's
how many
beats
per minute.
But it's not looking at the spaces between the beats. It's just
it doesn't care if they're coming fast or slow or irregular. Or not. It's number.
Why? Muller's posted a shitload of links in the chat room for the Slack
each
room.
Each one, the same link three times and then go. Like, it's a OCD problem.
never click any links that Muller posts, says Patrice, and he's dead right, yeah.
Even when he's really insistent.
But I don't know. Are those screen captures or something of our Slack? No, you have to have a Slack account. So they're no use to anyone who hasn't got a Slack account, Muller. Jesus. Now you're sitting thinking, okay, so any other ways of watching BTN? Well, tonight you can actually see Muller, because Muller is on the Jabber channel. So if you go to jabba.com, jabba.com, we've got a little link up with them, and we are broadcasting live on Jabber as we speak, and that's what it looks like. I put a fisheye lens on my iPhone, and I've stuck it right up high. There's a little chat room there. But to those of you that are watching on Jabber, it's no use trying to talk to me in the chat room on Java, because I can't watch all of them. So you have to come to our chat room, which is irc.geekshed.net, and then the room is #BritishTechNetwork, and we'll sit and chat to you in there if you want to. You can still watch your Java feed, but you're going to have to come in our IRC. Otherwise, I'm afraid I can't interact with you. And that's what the studio looks like, a complete frigging mess with Muller sitting behind the screens. At least the good thing is I've got the screens between me and him. Oh, stop.
And the bottle of
stood up. There you go.
You know, I found this. I looked at the band, Ewan. They have a little sticker that's an attachment plate kind of thing you can put on a table or stick to the back of the phone now that they currently sell, which is $99. And you just put your index and middle finger on both tablets, and then I do a EKG for you. So the band is just pre-order, but I posted the link to the thing in the chat.
The Cardia Band.
Cardia, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. iPhone SE that's coming on Monday allegedly is only coming with a 16 GB base storage and NFC for Apple Pay. And that's your lot, people. There ain't going to be any bigger expansions or any stuff like that. And it's also on the back label that it showed. It says CDMA on it, but I thought the CDMA network was dead.
They're saying, no, it's not.
16
not
and
here.
64.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you were saying they were saying 16 only.
No, 16 and 64. Why? Yep. What is this crap with 32?
It has to do with Enterprise.
Enterprise doesn't want 32.
No, they want the cheapest 16 because they want to also control the apps and the data that you put on your phone, so they don't care that you have a big corporate-issued phone.
Right.
They don't want you putting a bunch of movies and photos and junk on there because that's not your phone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they're buying them in bulk, so they want the cheapest price. And so Apple makes a good profit margin off of that by using the 16 modules. And pricing between the 16 and the 32 modules, I've heard, I'm not in that industry, so I don't know, but some people who say they know have told me that there's a big leap in price from those 16 modules to the 32 modules.
Yeah, it's probably, you're probably getting to the stage where the 16 will actually end up being more expensive as well.
Yeah, so when that happens, they'll switch.
Yeah, 45% say they would rather go, if people questioned, said that they would rather go for a 64-gig iPhone, and 36% of them said that they wanted 128 gigabytes. I got to say, I love my iPhone at 128. Yep. I'm not going to go for any less next time. I'm due an upgrade this year as well, by the way. So,
are you going to do 256 on the 7 if it comes out? Because that's the other rumor that came up this week.
I suppose if you're shooting 4K video.
SanDisk has a 256 module that's actually smaller than the 64, the 128 module. I think the 64 module that Apple is using right now.
I mean, if there's a 128 or a 256, I mean, I might go for the 256. It's the same price, you know, the 899. But I'm not. It's like if it's over, $1,000 or something like that, then I haven't filled the one I've got really at 128, so, and I'm not worried about shooting 4K video with it.
Yeah. Somebody, I kind of don't think Apple's going to go to 256, but yeah. Be interesting. They can basically now is what the rumor is.
Go on,
it's feasible.
Somebody talked pricing, and if I remember correctly, the number was 350, which isn't that far removed from the low level regular phone. So some people were saying, like, that's not going to be cheap enough to hit, like, cheap market, you know, because everyone assumes that I was doing this to hit the cheap market. But no. I think I'm more on the idea of the enterprise market or the you give something to your kid market, not necessarily the cheap market.
Right. Definitely. Who said 350? It's, that's too low.
I heard it this week. I should have wrote it. I mean, I should have kept the link for today.
It's going to be 400.
The pricing I read, and I can't think where I've read it today, was between $300 and $400 for the 5S, $400 to $500 for the SE.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
four,
it.
$400 to $500 for the SE is what Matt Rimmers is calling. We've had a message in the Slack room. AZ, who's a local chap to us, who comes in occasionally and sits in. He's saying he's listening to the Mac Show live. This is great. At Duns River Falls in Jamaica.
Wow.
Nice. So he gets Flash Bastard of the Night Award without a doubt. Well done, AZ. Yeah. Congratulations, mate. And he sent a picture of us. Thank you.
Nice.
There you go. Flash Git on holiday. Beautiful. In Jamaica, listening to us. What could be better? You go all the way to Jamaica and you look at it and go, do you know what? I really miss the Mac Show.
AZ, I have some stuff I need you to bring back from Jamaica for me.
Okay, there's a shopping list coming your way in the Slack room. Apple special event channel has already been posted if you've got an Apple TV 4.
Not very exciting to watch right now.
No, nothing much at all there, really. If you've got an Apple, there's a couple of questions, actually. One came up in the Slack room from Smock today. Richard, he said, oh, right, okay, so I haven't got a 4, I've only got a 2. I do hope Apple are going to do a channel for the keynote for the people that have got the older systems. And I hope they do too. Not that I'm going to use it, but I just think it'd be a bit crass to kind of drop everyone and say, unless you've got a four, you can't watch.
If they don't, remember, you can always pull up the stream on an iPad, an iPhone, a Mac, and AirPlay it to your application.
Yeah.
True, Adam, but I think it's a bit of a kick to people who haven't. You use an Apple product.
My guess would be that the event channel will show up, because for Apple, it's not...
It's a sales pitch. Why would you not have backwards compatibility on a sales pitch?
Apple. When has Apple ever backwards supported anything that they didn't have to?
Yeah, but I would say if you're any Safari browser is going to support this, and any other browser is going to support it as well if you go to their live page, isn't it? So why would you exclude an old Apple TV owner? Because there's no cost in writing it. The channel's already there, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah. The whole event is a sales pitch, so why would you exclude potential customers?
Totally. Because
again, it's Apple.
Probably right.
Ewan.
You're applying logic to the whole thing. That's where you've gone horribly wrong.
Yes, Doc. What can I do for you, sir?
I know this is not normal for the Mac show, but can I do a story that's near and dear to my heart?
Oh, go on, then.
Here, I just posted the link. Apple just signed a deal with Dubset in order to bring DJ mixes to Apple Music, which is pretty freaking epic. Dubset is a company that handles like 14,000 licenses to allow DJs to like make legal mashups and remixes and the whatnots. And you know, it's funny because I've seen a couple guys put in remixes on Apple for the last couple of months, and all of the guys in my DJ channel were like, how are these guys getting away with it? How are they not getting in trouble? You know, whatever. And I'm like, well, you're looking at some of the best of the best and some of the top radio stations like Cats from LA, my boy DJ Alex Dream out of Vegas, you know, he is one of the biggest Vegas DJs. And I think what it was, they were in this beta test, because their mixes were showing up on Apple, and everyone's like, if you put that crap on SoundCloud or Apple before, you would instantly get it taken down. Like, it would get about 3 downloads before it got slapped. But now I know how they've been doing it. I guess they must have been in some seed or beta program, and Alex he didn't answer my phone call yet, something was true. But I think it's really, really cool that we're going to get mixtapes, because mixtapes are great for everything from working out, long drives, cleaning the yard, like, whatever. It's so much better than gap between songs, you know. And I'm with you, like, I love that old school Paul Oakenfold, Ministry of Sound, some of the old original like UK house before the rest of the world started letting Bieber on it, you know, UK garage sound when that was a thing. So I can't wait to see, you know, what comes of this, also to see what this does to Spotify and SoundCloud, who has been pretty heavy-handed at slapping them off.
I saw that story on Mac Rooms actually, and I passed over it, but I do apologize, mate.
The tech behind it was what amazes me. They have some sort of system that will go through and basically analyze the tracks and can pull out all the different samples and determine, okay, this person's and that person's track is in here, and we owe them, you know, X amount of dollars for whatever the licensing is. And they say it can do it even if a mix has hundreds of songs in it or hundreds of samples.
Adam?
Yeah.
Sorry for the crosstalk. There's a thing that we had in the radio station when I was in the radio years ago called a DGS. What it does is it listens to the stream and it finds digital imprints. So I am really, really funny. One of the biggest songs to come out of Casey and JoJo is All My Life. And it wasn't slated to come out. And I broke it on my radio show because I let an intern run the board while I went to the bathroom. So the guy, someone called in and said, hey, can you play this song off the new album? And that dummy played it. And I got suspended on Monday for playing it. And it turned out to be the biggest song that they ever dropped. And it actually leaked out of our station. And eventually Tommy Mottola came to Hawaii and gave me a gold plaque and a watch. And like, I apologize for reaming you. That's the best song we've ever released on MCA Records. So it's neat to see that they've taken it even further, because what it required in the past was 15 seconds of play. And now they have it down to like a couple of beats. They can tell how much of a sample you use, how long you used it. Even if you try to bury it in like the smallest little things, they can take apart where it comes from using audio imprinting, and they can make sure everyone gets paid accordingly. And you're dead solid right. That is some crazy amazing tech.
Doc, is that a bit of a USP for Apple then? Is that something that Spotify and people like that do not have?
Correct.
See, in Spotify, in certain countries, I mean, Spotify came from you guys, right? So in certain countries, there were some older stuff on there that was okay because, I guess in those countries, it wasn't as strict. But, like, here, there's literally record companies have people that do nothing but clone Spotify to try to find the weird karaoke tracks. And, yes, I didn't say karaoke.
Oh, for every week, for Christ's sake, move on.
Shut up. I haven't said that in 3 months. Anyway, they go around and they hunt for the people that are cheating. And so that's why they've been so aggressive and so fast. And it's really weird, though. SoundCloud takes a strange approach to it. If you're hella popular, they leave you alone. But if you're, like, just getting started or, you know, you're new to the scene or whatever, those guys get blasted so fast it's not even funny. But, like, you know, Deadmau5 can post anything on SoundCloud and nobody would bother him. Diplo. But, you know, well, Apple bought Deadmau5 too, as a matter of fact. Mousetrap debuts on Friday.
Jolly good. AZ is taking the piss because now he knows he's online and he's getting credit for it. He's taking a wander down to the beach instead.
Never mind the blank shot. Where's the chicks?
You bastard. That's all I can say.
I could take that picture every day. It's nothing special.
All right, mate. Well, the rest of us can't.
Yeah.
All right.
See, I could take that picture.
My average working day is that picture. All day. Every
looking
day.
Looking at Steve.
No, thank God. Right, before we get onto Apple and iPhone and FBI, we've had some reviews. This one's from Disappointed Hombre. He's given us 4 stars, so it can't be all that bad. And he said, my favourite show about all things Apple. So it's a good start, right? He's in Canada. It's been dark there for a while now, I would have thought. And he said, my only problem is the host screams like a child to be allowed to make his point uninterrupted, but doesn't extend the same courtesy to his desks when he disagrees with them. Sometimes it resorts to name calling. If you say that again, I'm going to throw my teddy in the corner and stomp off, and you can go find another show to listen to. That's all I can say.
Hey, Donald Trump resorts to name calling.
I didn't know. So there is a point, actually. I've written a blog post that that just clears up some of the legal points that we made last week. And to be fair to me, because I would be, I did say that arguing with Doc was like arguing with Humpty Dumpty. I didn't say he was Humpty Dumpty. I didn't call him that name. And I've got to say, if it's your favourite show and you hate me, then there's nowhere else to go, really, because I'm not going anywhere.
This is a phenomenon that happens only in podcasting, I will tell you this, because I found a show recently that was the same thing. I listened to it. I didn't particularly enjoy it because I found the hosts a little bit grating, but it was one of the top podcasts currently on iTunes in the US. It's in the top 20, and I go to look at the reviews and there's a ton of 1-star reviews, everybody complaining about the hosts, but they're all listening. So, hey,
working. I figure you made it. If people tell you you're a bastard, you made it. That's why I figure it.
True.
The one thing I would say, though, if you're going to leave a review about our podcast, I've been doing the Mac Show for 6 years. And if you just leave it and refer to last week's episode, that's not really a fair review of 6 years' worth of podcasting, mate. And the other thing to point out is that this is entertainment, so therefore we are a little bit more stereotypical, if you like, and a bit more characterized than we would normally be if we're in public life and, you know, talking to one-on-one. And Doc, were you upset at me for making fun of you last
week? I would never get upset at you.
Thanks.
Okay, listen, people, everyone in the whole world listening to this podcast, all 28 of you, I am known as a grown-ass man, okay? And I am damn near 50 years old, and I'm from the ilk. The people prior to you millennials where me and all 40s cats, we could be in the bar, right? And we could be drinking. Mm-hmm. And then you can say something stupid about Manchester United. And I can say something stupid about Wasp. And he can punch me in my damn face. And then after that, I'll put an ice pack on my eye, and we would freaking toast my whiskey and his beer. And just to piss him off, I'm going to drink Japanese whiskey. But we could drink 2 seconds later, because that's what men do. We used to beat the crap out of each other and shake hands and move on. But you new people, you, like, get your joint, like, all twisted up as if someone pulled your willy off your body and refused to give it back. Grow the F up and leave us alone. And if you don't like it, sorry.
But the only thing is that Doc would then spend the rest of the night while he was pissed trying to tell me how to say karaoke properly.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Old school, we used to just get in a fight, put an ice pack on or a band-aid, and then shake hands and move on. Like, I don't know what people now, like, it turns into, like, long-stemmed hatred. Like, they dudes not dudes. And I say this in the most chauvinistic way possible, so write your hate mail in right now. Dudes hold anger now like women do to their husbands. 6 months later, they'll bring up some crap you did.
Yeah, no.
That's not like us.
I've learned that talent, though, I have to say. Right, moving on to Apple versus FBI. There is a piss take, actually, on the blog, if you read it this week, because Doc, when Mueller said precedent, said, no, not precedent, I've actually put a blog post that gives you the definitions of precedent, and legally binding precedent. at the end. And I just wanted to clarify those because I think this is one of the problems that people are who the hell's dialing in now?
American.
Oh, let's take a piss.
Oh, yeah, right.
He said it was American. Jeff doesn't count. He's not one of us.
So, Jeff, you're an hour early, mate, because we didn't do daylight savings yet.
Oh, okay, well, jeez, I can totally get out of your way. That's not a problem.
See you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Enjoy the happening.
And poor Adam got picked up.
Hello, Adam.
For you, and on that blog post, is it the president bit is the most factually correct, then, just reading that?
Yeah, probably. I've cut Adam off by mistake. Sorry, Adam.
I swear I'm going to go listen to the whole show so I can fight. I know it was just a slip of the tongue, but he did say
no, he said precedent, and you said president, and I said, no, I was in here. I know what he said.
I'm going to find it, because I swear I heard that. I mean, I could be dead. I ain't going to lie. I'm old.
But let's move on from president, because I really don't think that was necessary. Precedent, and I'll just read out what I've put here. That it's an action or situation decision that's already happened and can be used as a reason why a similar action or decision could be taken. That is just in general life. That's just a definition in English. It's not a definition in law. If you look for legally binding precedent, you're talking about things that have happened in courts that will influence future decisions in other courts, either equal courts or lower courts. And the lower court is the one that's really bound by the precedent. And the point that everyone's talking about and saying, oh, this could set precedent, it could set precedent as in the definition in English that I said before. It can't set a legal precedent until it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, yes, the All Writs Act does apply to this situation. But even then, it doesn't set precedent because it will only apply to that situation. So you have no defendant here. So any court case that has a defendant is a completely different one, and it would justifiably say this does not apply here because there's a defendant here and there wasn't a defender at the San Bernardino case. That was my point. There is no legal binding precedent in this case unless you're talking about a terrorist who's killed a number of people and has kept their works iPhone. That's the only time it's going to apply directly. So let's move on from precedent.
It was, you know what's funny is now that you wrote it down on paper, what for the first week we were arguing about was legally versus just general common form. And then in last week's, we were arguing about if it made it to court. But you guys weren't hearing me. I was saying if it made it to court.
No. It's already been in a court. It's a local decision. It was a local federal court, wasn't it, that issued the order. So it can't. It still doesn't set precedent as it currently is.
Yeah, but you know, when people in the media and the defendants and the proponents or whomever, when you're talking about it, I think in general, the majority of the populace are speaking of just the common verb or, you know, the common word.
It's happened before, it might happen again.
Well, yeah, that's
what they mean.
And the thing that they're talking about is the fact that, you know, people are going to use that regardless of whether or not it's legally binding. They are going to use it as justification for attempting to bring action.
You know what brings this really close, and it's a different word altogether, but in a similar fashion, some people are, and this came up in a bar conversation this week, it's almost like when you go to use estoppel as a way of not having to do what someone's asking you to do because it has been the sort of law of the common person for so long, you can't take it back, and no one's brought that up yet, but it has been almost, 7-8 years of an iPhone, and so you never had to worry about this up until now, and now they're asking for it. Somebody could go in and argue on the point of, you know, almost like an estoppel in the sense that you can't let me get away with it for so long and then now tell me that I'm doing it wrong.
My entire point last week when Brian mentioned the NYC case was that the NYC case proves that these are two distinctly different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And as well, it proves my blog post that this is a different decision by a different judge in a different court about a different case. They're all different. And that's the point. The case is issued and the warrant is issued or the order is issued on the individual circumstances of those cases. Yeah. You can't set a precedent for an issue of a warrant. It can't happen. It cannot happen.
Can I say something that I've been trying to refrain from saying this because it sounds...
Just don't say collateral damage, but go on.
No, I don't care. Unless you've been on the ground and got shot at, don't tell me whether I can say collateral damage, because I've been there. So if you sat at home and argued about war instead of going, shut up. I can say that. I'm a vet. Anyway, my point being, here's what's the most disturbing to me. Screw the law, screw the case, screw the precedent, screw all that. Just throw all of that out the window. Our FBI especially has proven time and time again of their inability to use their power, let's say, completely ethically. They've been busted so many times, and no one does anything. It's just a hand slap, and it kind of gets moved on. Somebody gets fired. Somebody gets thrown in the corner. Somebody disappears, right? Whether you're a conspiracy theorist or not, you can't deny the fact that most people now, evidence has been proven on many of different books out there on the subject. J. Edgar Hoover possibly is responsible for Kennedy and King. So it's not like they haven't overreached before. So you can't get mad at people for worrying if they're going to overreach again. And the other part is NSA and so many other people have said, you know, we could do that. The Cydia guys, our jailbreaker, said, you know, we can do that. No, we don't want you to do it. We want Apple to do it so that we can get what we've been wanting for a long time. And that's the only part that's bothersome. Had they not been barking about this for the 3 or 4 years prior, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so it's the shady route that they're going to make this thing the issue in order to get what they want that makes it so damning.
Well, they can't. I mean, ultimately, they're not going to get what they want. And really, the frustrating thing in all of this is all the posturing that's happening on both sides and all the threats and all the language and inflammatory language. And it's being done in the media and tried in the media and not in the courts. And I think that's part of what you're responding to, Ewan. And that's why this week, you know, I brought up a couple of articles that I ran across from actual law people at Harvard and Stanford about the whole CLIA thing. So ultimately, it's looking like under the law, this is going to go to court and the FBI is not going to have a case to stand on.
I don't think they are.
And as far as I know, almost all experts have said that the FBI should be able to crack this phone even without Apple.
Guys, it doesn't matter.
That they have to, but they could.
Guys, this was shaky ground when you started citing a 300-year-old piece of legislation as the justification for opening an iPhone.
There you go.
That's when it's got holy shit written all over it. So that's not the point that I'm making. I really don't think that Apple are going to be compelled to open this phone. I don't think they are. But it's not going to be using the All Writs Act. There's no question that. I think it just doesn't apply and it's not going to work. But
I
that
want to hear,
doesn't
I want
change
to hear Mueller's point after this. Sorry.
That doesn't change the... You really don't. That doesn't change the fact that there is a process to follow and the process is not being followed.
Mm-hmm. Adam, is your point there that CLIA stops?
Wait, the process is not being followed by whom?
By either side.
Either side making public statements? Yes. But I mean, outside of that, there is an ongoing case that's happening. It is going through the channels. It is going through the system. That is happening.
I don't understand why you're saying that's not happening. The normal points that don't hurt, the media just ignores them because they're no fun.
Yeah.
So they only bring us the dirt. And most people can't get that through their freaking head.
And Adam, is your point back there that CLIA essentially it is the ruling that protects Apple in this case? So to change CLIA,
absolutely,
and have to go back through Congress to renegotiate that deal.
Law Enforcement Act. That's never going to happen. Passed through Congress, and in it they got a bunch of things that allowed them to do more extensive wiretapping and surveillance on digital communications. But to get that, there's a section in it called 1002, where they gave up the authority to, and this is direct quote, require any specific design of equipment, facilities, services, features, or system configurations from any phone manufacturer.
Which therefore means Apple, in a future iOS update or a future hardware update, can, if they so wished, design a more secure OS or more secure hardware platform.
More importantly, it means the federal government cannot tell Apple how to design their equipment.
Yep.
Which would include going in and saying, you have to change the software so we can run a hack against it.
Yeah. And if the government doesn't want that, then they have to change the law. Which they can.
Yeah, I mean, I've never offered an opinion whether I think the outcome of this law will be that they will or will be that they won't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they will be compelled to do it, but I think they should do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's outside the realm of, you know...
But that's not the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, if this hadn't all gone to public, Ewan, they might well have done that.
Yeah. I think so, too.
The other thing that this gets down to, and I've been talking about this a lot on my show this week, and I know I've been talking with you, Ewan, in the Slack channel and stuff, is the fallout of this is probably what's the most concerning, is what happens. And we can only speculate on what that's going to be, but the government is already posturing, and Apple's already posturing in certain ways to give us an indication of what the fallout's going to be. Apple and tech companies are going to start to shore up what they consider to be the quote-unquote holes or... You know, they're going to take themselves out of the equation. And on the government side, the government is coming out, including the president out at South by Southwest, basically implying, look, if you go down this path, we're going to have to go down another path and you're not going to like it. Implying that path means, hey, we're going to have to modify our legislation so that you will have to build in backdoors.
But you've never had a right, an absolute right to privacy. You've had a tacit right to privacy based on the fact that there is no suspicion of you doing anything wrong. And if there is a suspicion of you doing anything wrong, then you have to give up that right to privacy to allow us to investigate you. That has always been the case. That is never going to change. And the more you try and create the unhackable box, the more the government will go, sorry, you can't create unhackable boxes. And they're right to do that.
Yeah. And that's sort of what you're facing.
The most interesting part of this case, and it sounds a little science fiction, but the estimates from industry experts in the studies of all things neuroscience is right now the only thing subpoenaable is your brain, right? But there are guys out there saying we're probably 5 to 10 years away from, similar to a lie detector test but on a much better scale, they'll actually be able to pull out the granular thought. And that is one, on a tech level, pretty damn amazing. But on the level of, like, keeping secrets kind of thing, or privacy, or national security, that is damn scary. Because if our best experts and the UK best experts are trying to do this for good medical reasons, trust me, there are people out there far more nefarious than our two governments that are digging into this for the almost like, say, torture reasons or...
For the wrong reasons.
Espionage reasons, right? So I think that part is pretty crazy, too. But... It's what Ewan is basically saying is true. Right now, the only thing, tacit or not, is the only thing that's actually lockable is your brain. Why you got, that's a freaking statement. What are you laughing about?
But yours is wrapped in a tinfoil hat, mate, so of course it's locked up.
No, I'm not. I am so far not a...
There are still ways to get...
No, and I'm going to say again, Mueller's right. I hate to say this. It's the third week I said that damn shit.
Mueller's right. Jesus Christ. Come on.
If you torture people to make them say what they've been holding in, yeah, that's... So he's technically right. They've been doing it already, but we're talking about from less...
Elizabeth the First said a confession under torture is no confession at all.
Yeah, no, but I guess
still do it.
15th amendment. So I'm still marveling at the fact that you think that J. Edgar Hoover had Kennedy shot when all the worst psychopath tin hat foil things.
No,
CIA.
Okay, for Hoover it's about King, because Hoover was super super racist and it was a king. It's been proven through tons and tons of proof that basically... It's
proven through tons and tons of proof. That'll stand up the court, mate.
All right, here's a link. Read it for your damn self. I've been saving this one. But my point was, our government has basically taken out a president. Our government has taken out a civil rights leader in the whole point of not letting something get out that they didn't want to get out, that they didn't want to happen at the time. There were guys who used to be in the organization that came out and admitted their complicity, William Pepper, for example. You know, we had special forces troops on the ground. We had snipers on the ground. Everything was lined up. Our government killed King because he was trying to let people like me have a voice. So don't, if they don't, if that wasn't in their back corner, maybe we wouldn't worry about them going ahead or overreaching. You know what I mean? And I'm saying, I wasn't even trying to bring that from a tenfold hat statement. Many people in our country has pontificated that point over and over again. And most people now commonly believe that our government basically killed King. So sorry, as a black guy, if I believe that our government should keep their hands out of this stuff.
No, I mean, this, the thing for me is there's too many questions around King. And if you ever go and look at the Google layout for Dealey Plaza on Google Maps, and you look at the way that the motorcade went, you look at the layout and you go, why on earth would you do that? There is no feasible need to do that. Not whatsoever. But they did it. And I don't, I think the changing of the room for King, I think that's highly suspicious. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think there's too many unanswered questions around both of those killings. Mm. And I know that, you know, I knew before I watched the J. Edgar Hoover movie with DiCaprio, yeah, that you know, Hoover was a bit of a wacko and very much, very almost psychotic in the way that he thought that things would expand. And he had a whole pile of files that I know were shredded and burned that were prevented from by his secretary. And she didn't even read them by all accounts. So they're not even locked in her head before she did it. She was under instructions to burn it, and she burned it, and that was the end of it. And I'm sure he did some serious, nasty stuff that I cannot tolerate. But this isn't it. This is unlocking a phone of a dead guy that's owned by a federal department who wants it unlocked, and Apple won't help. It's a different thing entirely.
No, that's total difference. But you can't tell me that somebody in your office hires the guy that was a known pocket picker, and then the one day you forget your watch, but you don't know where you put your watch, and the watch comes up missing. No matter how nice a person you are, you kind of sort of look in the corner and go, did Adam take my watch? And then you feel bad about
it. What's that going to do with this?
It's the same thing. I'm saying, if people didn't already have it in their notion that they're forever overreaching, all kinds of stuff that they've been proven and proven and busted again for overreaching, that this is a point of overreaching, not a point of actually needing that data, because everyone has said unequivocally there's nothing on that phone that they need, or they don't already.
I tell you
have.
What, Mom, I've described you as my brother from another mother to someone a few weeks back, and I'm just glad that you got the lunatic half.
I'm not a lunatic. I'm the most un-53 person out there. But I just see, you know what, I find it weird, because I swore when I was a child growing up that I would never resort to thinking, oh, it's the man against us, it's the man against us. But just recently, I get pulled over for stupid shit. You know, like, you guys don't know what it's like when it happens, because it's never going to happen to you. So you can't understand. No one's ever going to pull you over and accuse you of doing something you ain't even do. I get questions like, oh, where'd you get a Beamer from? Because I bought it. Like, oh, do you sell drugs? Mother effer, like, I can't own a business and own a Beamer in the state of Hawaii. Well, brother got a Beamer and I'm a drug dealer. Like,
so, hang on a second, mate. Hang on. I got stopped a couple of, about a year ago, actually, a year and a half ago, by the police. And I was driving over a speed bump, and they reckoned I went over it quite quickly. And they pulled me over. They hadn't caught me speeding. They hadn't seen me speed. They just thought I might be. And the guy pulled me over and said, where are you going? And I said, you're not, none of your business. So people do that, and they go, so where have you come from? Well, you'll have to figure that out for yourself, won't you? And what were you doing? I think you were going too fast. I wasn't. I got a speed limiter on my car, and it was engaged. All right. And at that point, it just struck you, like, I got nothing more to ask.
Yeah, but see, you can do that. You know what happens to people like me that do that? Sandra Bland.
No, you get your iPhone recording, and you just leave it on the seat. So they get to the audio, and you say,
I'm just saying, in
where are you
country,
going?
People like me get killed over those answers.
Oh, man. I really hope not, man.
We're not making this shit up.
I'm really confused, because I've watched Dog the Bounty Hunter, and all the crims that I've seen in Hawaii are white.
Hey, you know what? You're dead solid correct, but trust me, my brother's a cop, and I get pulled by. And 9 times out of 10, once I tell them my brother's a cop, they start apologizing like left and right. I'm like, hey, call the 6th precinct and ask to speak to Corey. And they go, oh, that's your brother. Oh, I'm sorry. And then they let me go. But it's super stupid. I mean, I guess I got the Taliban beard and, you know, I drive a sick whip and I do dress kind of hip-hop, but Whatever.
No, I've got a mate, Cash, and he's a Muslim, and he had a big full beard when we were at uni together, and in the end he shaved his down into like a little kind of Sinbad the Sailor kind of point, and he got stopped way less. That's true. Stereotypes do exist, I grant that.
Thank you, Bob Beach. Thank you, because I swear I almost told myself I'm never going to argue this point with someone who could never actually be in that same situation, because it's basically pointless, because everyone would think you're being angry black.
Unfortunately,
educated brother, a person with 3 degrees, I speak 5 languages, nothing pisses me off more than when they treat me like that.
I totally agree, Matt, because there is more than anecdotal evidence that there is a severe persecution of black people in America by the police, and it's got to stop. Absolutely, it's got to stop. But have you seen Bob Beach?
Huh? No.
You're not talking to a fellow brother, I promise you.
I didn't say that. I just said that.
No, I know you're not, but there we go.
That was great. Only Chris could back me up, and he's not here to back me up because it's the wrong show.
He's supposed to be on the next show, but I don't know if he's coming or not, so we'll have to wait and see.
I did want to ask Mueller, and he probably can't answer this. So I'll ask you in the Slack, because I know you probably can't answer this one live.
Okay.
Why not? I'm retired.
Answer in Slack. We'll ask it in Slack because we're running out of time anyway. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely stunning. Thank you so much for their support. They've renewed our servers for yet another year, so that goes into our I think that's our 8th year now. We're just starting on our 8th year of sponsorship with UK2, so they're absolutely superb. They pick up all the bandwidth. We've got 3 terabytes of video sat on the server. They allow us to show shows going back, right back to 2008, 2009 that we've got on the server still. And the 100TB server, if you're an American, you go, oh, I don't want UK2 because I live in America, go to 100TB.com. Because they sponsor us for the server that does all the live stuff, and it does the NQL channels and that kind of stuff. So please check out UK2. Anything that you want for the web, domains, co-location services, hosting, anything like that. See if we can do you a good deal. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and the whole pile of offer codes there on the UK2 link. And even if you just want to sign into your own account, britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and sign in as normal, and they'll know that we sent you, if you like, you're a returning customer. So thanks ever so much to them. And then, of course, there's Hoya. Thanks to them for supporting the podcast. We love them to bits. Hoya make a bigger products than you've ever imagined in your entire life. Mark from Hoya, who I think is coming for the keynote next week, he showed me a video, and he reckons that, in the video, they reckon that every single person in the world touches, a Hoya product, 7 Hoya products in a day. And I just thought, wow. That's amazing. And they don't even know they're Hoya products. And traditionally, you'll think of Hoya for being for lenses and stuff like that, for covering your camera, ultraviolet lenses and that type of stuff. So, yes, they do that, but they've got an incredible optics range. And the glasses that I wear on the shows are the ones that that Hoya made for me specifically for the studio, and so that I could write a review for them. So, you know... I didn't do a good review because I thought Hoya might be a product that might sponsor us in the end. But I do love their products, and we only put people in here if we actually believe in the products that they've got. And I really, really do. I love my Hoya glasses. I would never change them. I've bought other Hoya glasses, and Hoya have actually been really kind as well, because they've put. I'll be on the next show actually. The thing that goes on the back of my camera, the Lupe, they've rejigged that so that I've actually got another 5 years of use out of my eyes with that. It's a specially made lens, so thanks Hoya for looking after BTN. We hope that you guys will look after Hoya. Contact podcasts@hoya.co.uk and see what they can do for you. And I want to say a big thank you as well, because we've had a little surge in Patreon donations, and those people that do leave us nice reviews and do say thank you very much for what you do free of charge to us with very little advertising. We don't get paid to do any of this. It's just for fun. And they've left us donation in Patreon. So patreon.com/ British Tech Network if you'd like to leave us anything. If everyone who listened to this show left us $1, then we could do this professionally. So all the shows that we've got would be done every single week without fail, because that would be all that we do. That's how much, how many people listen to us. You've only got to give us $1, and we could all do this professionally. So please check us out at Patreon, and please give us a few bucks just to ease the problems that we have with buying new equipment. I mean, if you look at the picture that I've got up on on Jabba. You can see there's an entire lighting rig here. This is a TV studio, in effect. And there's an awful lot of kit in here. And I've paid for all of it myself. None of it's come out of the Patreon stuff. But some of it's starting to wear out. So we really do need to start thinking about getting some of the little Mac Minis and things like that need to be replaced. So if you could spare us a few quid or even spare us a Mac Mini, that would be great. We'll give you sponsorship. We'll read out your name, all that kind of stuff. Everybody. Cheers.
I have an original Core Duo one that you can have. Not Core 2 Duo, Core Duo.
Yeah, no, that works. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Thank you, mate. Please. I'll pay you the postage for it.
The shipping will cost more than a Mac Mini.
Oh, crap. I was kind of joking.
No, it will.
I'm actually using it still.
Well, I won't play customs on this. Take it. No, but if you're not using it, then we'll have it. Because that's all we've got down here is the first Intel Mac. The first Intel Mac.
I have a newer
minis.
iMac, but you need minis, right?
Minis are great because I just frig the ports on the back, and then we can do the screencasting dead easy.
The newer iMac will do that.
I'll be able to find you a mini or two.
I don't want a new iMac because I don't want the screen. I just want the little tiny Mac minis. If you've got any of the Intel Mac minis, the first ones, the white ones, they're perfect for us. Give me six of those and I'm happy because that means I haven't got to start getting laptops out and shit like that.
eBay.
No, I'm not going on eBay.
Saying the host is worn out.
Have you got a cool thing for us, Patrice?
I definitely do, and I switched my cool thing because we were talking about conspiracies. So I'm going to pick a mini-series, a TV show, called 112263. And yes, it is about JFK and the JFK assassination. And it's really interesting because it basically... It's James Franco who goes back in time to, I think, 1960 and tries to figure out whether Lee Harvey Oswald really killed JFK and all of that. And it's really, really, for me, I have never seen the 60s or I've never lived in the 60s. And I feel with this show, I feel like I do. And it's really, really interesting how he even adapts to the time. I mean, he's from 2015, 2016. How does he even adapt to the time? I mean, he has never lived it during that time. So really interesting, good show so far. I've seen, I think, two or three episodes.
Cool.
Highly recommended. And it's 8.9 stars on IMDb. It's
well, that's
9,000 votes. So
good.
I did live really in the 60s, but I mostly shat myself because I was two.
I remember my parents let me stay up to watch the moon landings, and I've got vague recollections in my head, but I don't know if they're mine or whether they're just kind of implanted memories from discussions afterwards.
From watching other things on TV about it,
I was two.
I was in elementary school. I remember being in kindergarten and sitting on the ground and eating, like, drinking milk out of one of those little school milk things while we watched the landing.
Yeah, you don't know if those are yours or whether they're just recollections that your parents have put onto you that you've remembered. So, but I've got a picture in my head about sitting in my mom and dad's bedroom. But I don't think they had a TV in the bedroom. I think it was downstairs at the time. So, Adam, what's your cool thing?
Yeah, how come we didn't get to take the piss out of Mueller's Monday prediction?
We'll do that after Monday. I think we'll do that on Monday night. Are you joining us for the keynote?
I'll be around. I'll try and pop in.
So we're at 6:15 here, which is...
I'll be in front of my computer online, so...
Ewan, it starts at 5 UK time.
Five UK time, so it's 5:15 it'll be on then here. Yeah. So thanks, Patrice. Now, Matt, Adam, you've completely confused me, because I've asked you what time it is right now over there, and you've put 2200. That's your
hardest. Can you just say you're at 2030 right now?
We're at 2030 right now, so that means your hard out is 2200.
Correct.
Right, okay, sold. So Adam's coming on the big show.
It's converting it for
right, me. Anyway, cool thing, mate.
So I am going to actually pick, being that it's St. Paddy's Day and I'm a craft beer guy, these awesome craft beer glasses that are German crystal. They're from Spyglau. I just put a link in the show notes at macast.com. These guys,
Karaoke.
Huh?
They're from Karaoke.
These guys have been making glasses and glassware forever, and recently they started doing this series where I think they started with an IPA glass. So specific glasses for certain kinds of beer that didn't have specific glasses yet. So they did a stout one, American wheat beer, and a barrel aged beer.
They
I think they have a set you can get that includes sort of a mix of the different styles.
Do they allege that they improve the nose of the beer or something like that? Or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they work with brewers and people in the industry to kind of craft the correct beer glass for the correct style of beer.
I don't know that beer lasts long enough with me to smell it.
Did on Sunday. Saturday, sorry.
Doc is asking me.
Well, I have the set of IPA ones, and it's the only thing I drink IPA out of, and they're fabulous.
You know what I find is hilarious is that Mueller, Ewan, many people like them. They say that that's a load of rubbish, but every sommelier or expert in the subject of any type of spirits all tell you that the glass makes all the difference. But it's funny, like, just the drunks, they don't care. They're just selling you a $50 glass.
Did you just call me a name?
Because alcoholics go to meetings. So you're not that dumb. So you're drunk.
No. I do like a drink. There's no question of that. But my comment wasn't that this is complete bull. My comment was that the alcohol doesn't last long enough for it to make a difference. But,
they're not overly expensive. You know, it's like $40. You get the craft beer tasting kit that includes one of each kind of glass, and away you go. And they're really nice crystal glasses.
MD 2020 tastes the same no matter what you drink it from. you guys have Mad Dog 2020?
I know I'm not the only craft beer lover in the room, so.
Glass makes a lot to do with it. Even water. I think water tastes different in various glasses just for the way it passes in your mouth.
Oh, no. I mean, I drink Earl Grey tea, and I prefer it out of a China cup compared to a mug, most definitely. Tastes very different, most definitely. Yeah. Good pick, mate. Are they expensive?
No. Like really? I said, $40-$50. I mean, they're going to be more than a $2 glass that you're going to pick up at Target or Walmart, but they're very high quality. These guys have been doing this forever. So.
Okay. And it's Spiegelau.
There you go.
Said the German.
I was correct. I was correct then.
No, you weren't. You said
I don't, completely I don't different even pretend.
No, I said Spiegelau.
You said J. Edgar Hoover.
It was Marie Josef and then Puntangin and shit.
I understood the last word. Right, come on then, mate. What's your cool thing?
I'm flexing my multilinguals. Hold on. There he goes.
I'm in danger of getting feisty again.
I'm picking this SanDisk Extreme 500 Portable SSD External. Currently, you can get a 480 gigabytes one for about $150 US. If you hit it into the UK store, make sure you look on the side where it says from other sellers. Because what's happened is when this was on special a couple of days ago, they sold so many that it's back ordered. So the cheaper price one goes into the right corner, and the more expensive one now shows because that's available. So yeah, make sure you check the from other sellers. But this thing is ridiculously fast. And I always thought it was a great way to, like, if you have a small SSD or whatever, to store the large files kind of offline, but, you know, still be quick enough to use them. Somebody pointed out to me something I had completely forgotten about. If you are in a pro apps type of person, this is also great to have as your scratch disk if you have an SSD-oriented computer, because now you can kind of have two SSDs kind of flip-flopping back and forth. But it's a great backup drive. It's ridiculously fast, and it's rugged, nothing to break, shock-resistant case.
Are you sure you haven't clicked on the coaster here, dude?
Huh? It looks like a coaster.
A promotional coaster for SanDisk.
Yeah, it really looks like a coaster. So I can see maybe putting a cork on the top of it and letting it dual purpose. Because if it's going to be on the desk, you might as well coaster it.
Is it plastic or like leather? It looks like stitched leather.
No, it's that that polyurethane stuff that kind of feels similar to leather, but it's not. It's straight up
plastic. Leather.
Cheap shit.
Leather. Yeah, but the drive itself is ridiculously fast.
It looks cool.
Yeah. Well, it's so tiny you can almost like hang it off of your backpack or something. But anyway,
put my beer on it.
is now getting to the point where external SSDs are getting cheap enough that it almost seems crazy if you have a whipping machine and you put like the Costco Western Digital as your backup drive, and then it just doesn't make any sense. So now that these are getting cheap enough, it's only a little bit more than the Costco just for a great backup drive or for a scratchless drive. Or what I use it for is for DIT. When we're out filming or shooting, I'm just dumping the disk that keeps things off the computer just for safety.
So you're paying $187 for...
No, $149, brother. That's why I say you got to... When Amazon throws something on special, they'll sell out real quick, and then the price will go up to the next vendor. But if you look in the right corner under other sellers, you'll see that you can get Amazon. It, but you just got
to
wait.
Oh, no, I've added it to the cart. Holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah, back out.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, pause the show. I can edit.
And it's funny, because on that side link, it doesn't let you click it to get a bigger look. So you kind of have to add it to cart and then go get the link from in the cart.
Interesting as well. Anchor 24-watt dual USB wall charger. Yeah, that's interesting. If you want to go to the UK and get it, you can get it for £151.99 with Prime on it.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Wow.
It's not $149.
That's about the same as an SSD without a case.
Yeah, it's still more expensive than you guys, but yeah, it's good.
I won't even wanted to move my Waste Mini to an SSD, and this would be the way to do it.
Oh, yeah, so that's what, actually, Adam, I'm using it for. I'm using it as the main drive for the Mac Mini that runs the laser, because I didn't want to take the Mac Mini apart, because the last 2014 I have is such a bitch to get to the hard drive. You got to take the logic board and everything out.
Same one that I have, yeah. I don't want to deal with it.
So I just kind of stuck it with 3M tape to the Mac Mini. And it's basically running my Mac Mini. The internal drive is the backup now.
Yeah, no, I've done that before. I've run you can create your boot disk externally from your device, of course, as well.
Yep.
So you could put the boot disk. If you had a spinning drive in your Mac Mini, take this on the top as the master drive, mm-hmm. and then boot from that, and just use the spinning drive on the inside the Mac Mini as the as the storage.
Yeah, you know what this is great for too, Ewan? The people that have, I have this come up at least once a week. People have an iMac, right? Some of the original 24s and 27s, the mechanicals are starting to eat it. And of course, Apple charges like $280 on an out-of-warranty machine to change the hard drive on the inside. And I'm like, people, just, Velcro an SSD to the back of an iMac and then in the USB 3 port or a Thunderbolt port and just run it like that. And so this is also good for that kind of person as well. Not just laptop or mini PC.
My iMac, I ran my iMac off an SSD with a Thunderbolt connection for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years.
Excellent. Okay, mate. Totally good. Camps, what have you got for us, pal? You're on mute, dude. I can edit.
Yes.
I can edit, don't worry.
We've talked Anchor a couple of times tonight. My cool thing's some Anchor. The Anchor Sound Buds in-ear sport earphones. So I wanted some Bluetooth earphones just for basically conference calls at work. That's something that I can leave my phone on my desk. I don't necessarily just have to be. I'm one of those sometimes if I'm talking, I want to stand up and stretch my legs. So looking around for some decent Bluetooth headphones with a decent battery life on it. So looked at Anchor just because they've got a good history with battery life, and I came across these £24.99 on Prime in the UK. I think they're about $27-$28 in the US.
$25.99. I'm looking at it right now. $25.99.
And I'm finding them really, really comfortable. You get three little round earbuds. You get three ear hooks. So really comfortable in ears. It's advertising 8 hours battery life, and I've probably had about 7 hours out of them. I started using them on various conference calls on Tuesday. I plugged them in as I left the office tonight. I've left them on my desk, otherwise I'd be able to show you them now. And I've probably had somewhere in the region of around 7 hours conference calls this week, and I've not had any problems at all with them. It does say that they've got some active noise cancelling on there for voice calls, and I've certainly had no complaints. I don't work in the quietest of offices, so yeah, I'd really rate these. I've not used them too much for music. I've only listened to a couple of tracks at the moment, and the sound's not bad at all out of them, so I need to probably test them a little bit more in terms of some music. But the sort of gym, sweat proof and stuff like that. So if anybody's in the market for some Bluetooth earbuds at the moment, I'd definitely recommend these ones.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much.
That's, and the price is so good, it's almost disposable. Because, you know, when you start to sweat at them, they go bad real quick.
Yeah.
But at 25 phones, if you can get 5-6 months, toss them, 5-6 months, toss them.
Yeah, don't forget, these are Anker. So you've got an 18-month warranty under Anker with them as well. And we know how good they are at looking after you when you have problems.
Mate, you've got a 2-year warranty under EU legislation for all consumer electronics. So,
yeah.
But even so, the fact that Anker don't give you any grief over that is good.
Yeah, I can tell you, having used their return policy, even just for cables, they were really great about it. I mean, just got them up on chat on the website, and you know, they sent me an RMA and dealt with it.
Deep Pan raises a good point in the chat room that I should have mentioned, that the mic's actually in the earbud itself, so it's not like the Bose ones that I'm wearing now, where it's halfway down the cable. It's in the earbud.
I love the fact, like you said, the IPX4 rating is just off the hook.
Yeah.
I haven't got a cool thing because I'm saving mine for the big show, which means I'm thinking of one. No, my question is, I've just gone and looked to buy the 29-watt USB-C power adapter, and I've looked at it, and the extension cable that comes with it is USB-C to USB-C, and I can't find a picture of it that shows